Well, I guess it's the rivalry season. Red River shootout yesterday turned into kind of the Red River massacre, but so be it. We all have teams, ideas that we are drawn to, and teams and ideas against which we run away. I didn't know what to do yesterday. Wisconsin was playing Purdue, and I went to both of them. Wisconsin. Tech plays TCU next week. What am I going to do with that? All you good Christians and...
Well, we can't lose.
Absolutely. All you good Christians and the rest of us. Another debate this week, and what I find somewhat telling is that the first question people want answered after a presidential or vice presidential debate is not which ideas seemed the most useful, but who won? As though that's the object in a debate, which is by and large an exchange of ideas. This sort of two-dimensional mindset that us, them, winners and losers, a sense of divisiveness that sometimes is fun, sometimes is interesting, occasionally even useful, until we begin to get the idea that what divides us is more important or more intense than what unites us. So this morning I want to go back to basics, the basics of what unites us as a people of God, never more clearly stated than in Romans 3. The righteousness of God, Paul says, has been manifested apart from the law. And this comes in a whole big discussion about what's the sign of the new covenant. The sign of the old covenant was keeping the law. What do we do now? The righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, though the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. Now the good part. For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. All have sinned, all have been justified. That's the basics. Well, I know all have sinned, you know, but not like that. Not me. As though we can make a distinction between this level of violation of God's holy ordinance and that one. Jesus pretty much levels this in the Sermon on the Mount, in which he says, "You have heard it was said, you shall not kill." Well, you know, that's at least one commandment that we're pretty clear on. You shall not kill. Haven't done that. Okay. "But I say unto you," Jesus says, "everyone who says to another, you fool, shall be liable to the hell of fire." Told you it was going to get warm. I actually know people who have said, "Well, I never say you fool, I say you idiot." How intriguing is that, right? The point is, from the standpoint of what God intends for the health of God's community, anger and divisiveness is in the same category as killing, because it kills the spirit. Oh, well, I guess I'm all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Even on that one, that's the bad news. The good news is we are justified by His grace as a gift through faith in Jesus. Great! I got stronger faith than they do. Wait a minute. I learned this as a child. Martin Luther wrote this in the Small Catechism, which he intended to be a book of instruction for children. He says, "I believe," he's got strong faith, "I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to Him." I believe that by my own reason or strength, I can't even believe. I don't have the strength to believe. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, sanctified and kept me in true faith. Even as He calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth. And so on. He's talking about the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, the theology of sanctification. We are so estranged and separated from God by the condition of sin, not by our own actions, although they reflect the condition of sin, that we cannot even womp up faith from within. It comes from without, and that's why God sends the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit doesn't make distinctions on whom it falls. We don't even have enough strength to womp up faith. It comes to us as a gift from without. We are justified by His grace as a gift. One author put it this way. He actually said the same thing three times. There is nothing you have to do. There is nothing you have to do. There is nothing you have to do. In other words, you get it finally? Except understand the fact that the Spirit strengthens you. Oh, and by the way, not just you. The Holy Spirit sanctifies and saves us by strengthening our faith, by placing us in Christian communities. All have sinned. All are saved. How do we know? This little holy flock of pure saints, more or less. I mean, look around, for heaven's sake. Had a chance to talk about the notion of community, again this a week ago, to the dean of students at this little Christian Free Methodist college where I was in Michigan, Spring Arbor University, the smallest of the three Christian schools that I'll be visiting, or that are in my research project. There are also three private schools that are not Christian, if you will, in the study. The most notable for my purposes right now is Duke University. Talked to the dean of students there, the dean of students at Spring Arbor, and asked essentially the same question. What creates community? Dean of students at Duke University said it's a little more complicated than this, but not much. Men's basketball. Got to thinking about my own experience at the University of Wisconsin. When did I feel most connected to those with whom I went to school? Frankly, not the most edifying thing you'll ever hear from your minister. Sitting on Union Terrace, the student Union Terrace, overlooking Lake Mendota, drinking a beer. They serve beer at the Student Union at the University of Wisconsin. And when I was there, the drinking age was 18. How convenient is that? We talked about that in the Dean of Students' office at Spring Arbor, the Christian Free Methodist School. And I just made the offhanded comment that, I'll bet you don't have a beer bar in your student union, do you? She laughed. Of course not. Because that community is created around a different set of assumptions, a different set of assumptions. There are significant penalties for alcohol use by students at Spring Arbor University. There are significant penalties for being in the same room with someone else who's using alcohol. Not only can you be sanctioned up to and including suspension if this happens a couple times for consuming alcohol, but you can be sanctioned, suspended, and expelled for being in the same room where alcohol is consumed and not ratting out your fellow students. It's kind of an honor code. Going, well, that's kind of harsh. And she said, the reason for that is not to punish people or to throw them out or to get rid of them or in any way indicate that there's something evil about them. The point of it is to preserve the community that we value. Every community, every Christian community or otherwise, has a set of values and standards that you can buy into or not. And in the course of the conversation, she said, there's really no judgment implied when we have to, in effect, punish a student in this way, because our point is not to get rid of them, but to draw them back into the community around a set of values that we hold dear. Not everybody holds those values, clearly not the cheeseheads in Wisconsin. The goal is the same, community. The strategies are a little different. And we get to pick. We get to pick the kind of connection that keeps us strong. I certainly don't belong in a pulpit or a bar stool of every church. Learned that 6 or 7 years into my ministry, and in fact left, or thought I did, and then I got drawn back. It takes all kinds to make a world. It takes all kinds of people, all kinds of preachers to make a church. because overriding any differences we have on the theology and practice of, for example, alcohol consumption, is the broader understanding that we live in a fallen world, that whether we believe this, that, or the other thing about this, that, or the other behavior, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we find rest and recompense for that in different kinds of communities. Take your pick. Your puzzle piece might not fit into every place, but that has less to do with the shape of your puzzle piece than with the nature of the puzzle. Find one where you do fit. Because the Holy Spirit will lead us to a place where ultimately we receive the same message. Your ability to believe is not strong enough to save you. God's ability to strengthen your faith will bring you home. I'd like us to remember that during the next presidential debate, during the TCU Tech game. UT doesn't play A&M anymore, but you get the idea. There's a level to which this us and them way of thinking is interesting, fun, and amusing. But let's not take it seriously enough to imagine that any political or recreational allegiance or ideology separates us any more than what unites us. That is both our desperate need for salvation and God's overriding decision to say, I will meet that need. Back to basics. All have sinned, all have been saved, and we know that when we get together and remember what overrides what divides us. Amen.